Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is an AFL podcast, and today we are doing the Geelong Cats 2020 season preview. Now, as we recall this, obviously the things have changed with the coronavirus, and this is just after it's been announced that round one is going ahead, but we're not going to talk about the coronavirus. We've done a full episode all about it, so we're going to do this podcast as if 23 rounds of footy are going to happen.
Yep.
Because that's the optimistic way to look at it.
We're too far along now to change that.
We've already done 15 teams now that we got up to the Cats, so we're going to plow on anyway, as if nothing else happened. All right, so before we do the 2020 preview for the Cats, we're going to look back at season 2019. 16 wins in the minor premiership. Obviously, very happy with where they finished on the ladder. So that has to be a pass for Geelong.
Well, they couldn't have done much better, yeah.
But finals were a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, only for them.
So let's start. What were the highs for 2019 for Geelong?
Well, I think the highs and the lows are both Richmond. Well, yeah, well, obviously.
One of them?
Yeah, Chris Scott's salty tears over the Tigers. It's been fucking awesome to see.
It was round 12, they gave an absolute fucking pizzling.
I'm going to say, we'll start with the highs there, and that was an 11-goal win over the Tigers and kept Tigers to under 40 points, you know, with their explosiveness that they showed later on in the year. Really showed that when it goes right for Geelong, it really goes right.
Yeah, and you know, I'd put that as the high, just because if that's not it, it's when they kept North to one goal for a game.
Well, I've got a couple of highs, and keeping North to one goal eight. Was another one.
Yeah, I was at that game. Fucking sucked. But yeah, to defeat to the you know, eventual premiers by such a convincing margin, it's a massive high, and it would be something you'd hang your hat on if it weren't for the fact they got knocked out by them in the finals.
Got beaten in the finals, but we'll get to that. The other high was pretty obvious, 10-1 start. That's not a bad way to turn in the first half of your season. And a few of those, you know, they might not have been expecting to win when you sat down at the start, but the way they won was almost walk in the park at times. But
well, that's just it. The first four rounds were Collingwood, Melbourne, Adelaide, and Giants. And you'd expect, at the start of the season, expectations were Adelaide were going to bounce back.
And especially Melbourne, too.
Melbourne were expected to come hungry. And Collingwood and GWS, obviously, you know, had high expectations as well.
Yeah, especially Collingwood, you know, after playing in a grand final the year before.
Yeah, so coming off that as 4-0, that's pretty good for them.
One hell of a start.
They would have been stoked.
It's amazing. Did I pick them to finish top?
Oh, sorry, 3-1. They lost to the GWS.
Not next year. I'm going to go with yes.
Last year, you mean? Or
yeah.
I can't recall. I haven't got that.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Me. Yeah, and at the halfway mark, they were really the only clear side. You know, they had a couple of wins clear on top. It was obvious they were the front runners. Gary Ablett was adapting to his new role really, really well.
Yeah. I love his new role is basically the same role he's always had, which is do whatever the fuck you want.
Isn't it amazing? How many games? I think Gary played 20 games.
Yeah.
Which is more than he played in the last 3 years at the Gold Coast. Amazing how his injuries cleared up.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't just being a fucking workhorse and getting 40 possessions of the game winning Brownlows.
Or he could be asked.
Yeah, I think it was, that was more of it. It actually mattered and they had a chance.
Do you reckon up in the Gold Coast he was just so bored he was like, maybe I'll try meth? You'd be there and just going, I mean, look, you made it fucking well.
No, I feel like he was going to do that. Geelong would have been the place to do it before he left.
Well, no, because up there, like, worst case he gets caught and then he has to be off for a year anyway, so fuck it.
Well, he took the last couple of years off up there anyway. Like, yeah. So what's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, and when he was here, he could be like, it was Bummer Thompson's. Into shit.
You get the family discount on rehab.
So those are the highs. The lows, we'll start with their second half of the season. Mm. When you go 10-1 in the first half of the season, and then you do not put two wins together back-to-back in the second half of the season, it shows either, geez, your draw was bottom heavy, or things started to wobble.
Yeah, and was it just that a bit of an aging squad that couldn't handle a full work, or there's resting their laurels, they lose their mojo, the other teams just figure them out?
I can't put my finger on any one of those.
Yeah.
So, which probably means it's a combination of all three.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the teams they lost to as well, it wasn't like they lost to eventual champions, you know? They lost to Port twice, you know, and they lost to the Hawks as well that wasn't playing finals.
Yeah.
You know, they had a heartbreaker against Brisbane in Lincoln McCarthy's, was it his 50th game?
Yeah, great game to watch.
Fantastic, but, you know, it starts to build some memories up there for poor old Geelong.
Absolutely. Smashed by Freo.
Got smashed by Freo, you know? A team that nobody thought had a chance of making finals and didn't.
Yeah, it just seems like the last, you know, 4 or 5 years for Geelong, it's just been that way on team. It looks like someone's just made an all-star team. On paper, sorry. It's like someone's just, this is all-star weekend, this is the team that's playing. But just, I don't know, just, is it too many stars? Too many midfielders? I don't know.
And the other, obviously, was, the final loss to Richmond. They went into halftime with a slight lead, I think, in that game.
Yeah.
But even, talking to the old man who's a massive Richmond supporter, he wasn't worried at all.
No.
And I felt like, even though that was a bit the story of Geelong's year, even when they were 10-1, I thought, they're on top now, but they're not going to win the flag.
Yeah,
I didn't feel like they were a real serious contender. They obviously were.
Yeah.
They didn't feel as dangerous as they probably should have, and I don't know why.
They went in 21 points up.
Yeah, so that's a decent
21, lead. Shit.
Yeah, so that
it was 3.5 goals.
It was 7-8 to 4-5. So a bit.
Well, that's a good lead.
It's like just for scoring shots.
Yeah.
Fucking big.
The thing is, they'd kick 2-4 for the rest of the fucking match.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Even the old man, and it's a bit of a change of the times.
What, too, optimism?
As a Tiger supporter. Yeah, optimism.
Yeah.
Or, you know what? We got the cattle out there that can do it.
Yeah.
Having said that, I thought they would lose the week before to West Coast. And they put together a really, really good game.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird one. I think the confidence comes from not just Richmond going on good, but because Geelong have just found a way to lose games with a team that seems to be dominating.
Was Tom Hawkins out with suspension that match?
He got suspended in one match, didn't he? I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
He definitely did sit a final out. It's so long ago.
Yeah, now. Yeah, he did too. Yeah.
So it was his fault.
It clearly was too. If I remember it correctly, what he did, it was, that's a week.
Yeah, you know?
And you try and argue against it, but it is always going to be.
To be fair, a little bit later, had he done it, he would have played a grand final.
Maybe.
They don't rub those out in the prelims.
Fuck no.
What was their losing margins in the finals, actually?
It wasn't small.
The only lost one final, that prelim. 20 points?
19.
There you go.
Oh, there you go. They only lost one final. Didn't they finish top?
Yeah.
So they get a second chance?
Oh, sorry. They lost the first week to Collingwood.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, lost by 10 points and then...
I forgot.
Lost by 20 points.
Well, they beat West Coast in the semis.
Yeah, and that's the one I thought they might actually...
So they played 3 finals.
Yeah.
Right.
Went 1-2.
Yeah.
I thought that West Coast were going to take over, but that was one of the better... complete performances from Geelong during the year.
Yeah.
It was nobody that starred, really. It was a whole team, just doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
And they went into the last quarter down as well. Only a few points.
Yeah.
But to run home with it.
Their other major issue on the year was ruck. At times they had, Zach Smith playing in the VFL. They were desperate for a ruck. And they went, we're going to go without. Blitzarves was in the ruck. And they needed him elsewhere. He's one of the best key backmen in the league. Radagalia, I think they really want to play him more forward. They were rubbing Peter to pay Paul at times with what they were doing in the ruck. And it's one of those ones where Chris Scott is, if he made the decisions he did and they win, he's a genius.
Yeah.
He doesn't. They go, well, is he the right person? And some journos are going to ask those questions because they lost.
Yeah, exactly right. And... let's be honest, Chris Scott is not the most realistic person when it comes to reviewing games and strategies and things like that.
In the weeks leading into this season. He's been very vocal. No, he hasn't been very vocal. He said a few things that have got Richmond supporters up in arms.
Oh, it's fantastic. I love it.
It is.
I love it.
But he's getting in the media. That's, you know, half his job.
Well, I mean, he's answering questions that he's asked.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, obviously, GWS, they had nothing else to hang their hat on except they run out of legs, basically, yeah. In that final series. So, you know, the 2017 final, Adelaide had all those excuses. There was this, that. Richmond aren't that good. You know, we don't play in the grand final next year. Don't even this one. It's still good. They're not a good team. And it just makes it almost more legitimate.
Yeah.
It just makes you feel even better about it.
It's all right. Well, the Richmond review will come.
Yeah. Yeah.
The preview. It's on its way. All right. Let's have a look at what happened in the off season for Geelong, because they were very busy. Not all by their own want. So, first off, on the ends, Jack Stephen, who wanted to go home from St Kilda. And from what we saw in the trial games, looks like he's got his head straight. He's happy to be playing.
Oh, dude, it's a massive drive from St Kilda to Geelong. Yeah, he really needed to go home.
Well, I mean, he had two gaps of games that he missed last year through mental health.
Yeah.
But, yeah, again, pre-season form is only what you make of it. But he looked like he was enjoying footy. He looked like he was enjoying being out there and had a fair bit to give.
Yeah, and not being in a shit team, basically, yeah.
Yeah, which he spent, you know, quite a lot of his career in. And Josh Jenkins, who...
I love that pickup.
I mean, he's 31, but he's
getting for fuck all.
He's in good nick.
Yeah.
He can pinch hit in the ruck. And despite the meme of him kicking all his goals from the goal square, he runs 70 metres to kick it from the goal square. I would thought Hawthorn were interested. I would have very much been happy if we took him.
Yeah, to be honest, who gives a fuck where you kick him from as long as you're kicking him?
Exactly right. Yep.
Like people say, oh, you got to kick some goal square. If you're getting marks in the goal square, good. Why the fuck would you try and go further out?
Yep.
I wish they could have like a club of old full forwards. And they'd be like, yeah, bloke, that's your fucking job.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
What are you doing running beyond the 50 line, mate? Exactly. Kick to you.
Nothing wrong with that pickup at all. I like it.
I mean, Warwick Capon, he only got out of the goal square if there was a chick there, really. or a mirror.
All right, they're outs. We'll go through the others first. Wiley Buzzer has gone over to Port. Zach Smith has gone back up to Gold Coast. And, I mean, if you're desperate for a ruck and you're still playing him in the VFL, really says where you are on the pecking order.
Yep.
And mind you, I'm not saying that's a wrong decision either.
No.
I know that they lost and what not, but it's not a wrong decision.
Yeah.
And Scott Selwood has hung up the boots, which is probably 12 months later than most people thought he already had.
Yep, absolutely.
Nah, he played a couple of games. And, of course, Tim Kelly, who finally got to go home. And it's a tough one, this one, because, you know, he wanted to go home the year before and Geelong held out and played hardball. And eventually this year it was inevitable, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, was he going to be a restricted free agent if they didn't make a deal?
Yeah, I think the only people who didn't accept the inevitability were Fremantle.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I want to go home to WA, and Freo's like, well, have you? And he's like,
not that desperate. But at the end of the day, like, they got a lot of picks for him. I think I've written down here, they got pick 14, 24, 37, plus West Coast first round pick next year.
Yeah.
Having said all that...
If it's by alphabetical order from this year, they become blood and life.
Reverse alphabetical. Yeah, otherwise they get pick 17.
If the ladder goes by alphabetical, then, you know, West Coast is...
Right, there you go. Having said that, that's 1, 2, 3, 4 picks, and not one of them's in the top 10. I know you can trade up and all that kind of stuff, but...
But don't they have a few father-sons?
I know there are a lot of father-sons coming through. I don't know how many are Geelong ones, though. I assume there's probably...
I've got a feeling there was two.
But, yeah, could be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's heaps of them around the place.
So, yeah, this... the 2020 draft, or is it 2021 draft that's coming up, you know, there's going to be a lot of training and picks and points and all that kind of stuff. So it's not as desperate. But, you know, 14, 24 and 37... for Tim Kelly, you go, I think that West Coast got the better of that. Not that Geelong were robbed, but if...
But fuck, West Coast can definitely use Tim Kelly.
Exactly.
There's a huge difference to that squad.
It's not bad, though. I mean, because it's not like he's a 21-year-old, you know, gunner midfielder. He is 24 or 25, I'm not sure. But anyway, I think a lot of Geelong too was supporters were just happy that it was finally done.
Yeah.
Then we'll talk about it. All right, let's have a look at their double-ups for season 2020. They've got the Giants, Brisbane, West Coast, Hawks, and the Saints. I reckon that's a bit tough for them, to be honest, because Brisbane and the Hawks are a bit of a bogey side for them.
The Saints are the only walkover there.
The Saints are the only one that you go, you know what, you should win two of those.
Yeah, Hawthorn, they'll split the difference there.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Just because I always do. It'll be win one, lose one. Collingwood, GWS, and...
Collingwood. West Coast. GWS and Brisbane. West Coast is going to be a good one because, obviously, they've got Tim Kelly now.
Yeah.
Very interesting what kind of reception he gets down at Cadinia. Although, empty crowd, you never know.
Yeah. GWS will be interesting because either they're going to be on tilt after last year's grand final.
Yep.
Or they're going to come out and try and make amends for it. And they'll be a 10-goal better side.
But, I mean, you finish first on the ladder, you expect a tough fixture the following year. I think they got a tough one.
Yeah, it is pretty tough.
Although, you know, they do dodge Collingwood and Richmond, you know, which is not too bad. That's the highlight for them on that. So, who's going to have a big year for the Cats this year?
I want Josh Jenkins. I reckon he'll have a big year because I think Hawkins has been playing a bit more mobile.
Yep.
And I think they'll probably put him a bit further up the ground. And Jenkins will be just sitting back and watch them kick over the top of Tom Hawkins' head.
It'd be interesting. Like we said, very happy with him as a pickup. But how many games he plays will be interesting.
Yeah. It's really tough. Like, I think it's much easier to pick who's on the outer than who's going to have a big season. Like, there's people that got talent. Like, Grant Myers is one of the people that I've looked at had a big year. But he's put on some bulk.
Yeah, he was one the first one I wrote down as well.
Yeah, I feel like he's definitely got that talent there. He's got that good ball sense. He knows where to be.
Exactly.
He knows where the player is. I don't mind his aggressiveness towards the player. I know he's got fucking in trouble for faking stuff, but whatever.
Whatever.
Like, he's in there, he's putting a body on a man. Yep. That's what you want from someone like that. He needs to bulk up a bit.
He keeps very busy. I'm not on 100% on that bulk up bit because he is a very busy and a very quick player and he dances around. Well, I think he's just progressing well and he will naturally bulk up, you know, as he gets older.
Yeah.
I put him down as one of the first ones for a big year.
Rhys Stanley as well.
Ooh, there's an interesting one.
Yeah, if you're getting dropped coming into finals, you don't have much of a future there.
So he's in for a big year?
No, he's going to get fucked.
Okay. Well, when I ask for who was on the adder, we'll do him.
I think who's on the adder.
I put Jack Stephen down, but we've already spoken about Jack Stephen. I reckon the change in environment is going to do him a world of good.
Yeah.
And then, Tom Stewart and Tui running through the back lines.
Overrated.
They've shown a lot over the years.
Yeah,
he's no Robbie Tarrant, despite what the All Australian selectors fucking say.
I can see where the thorn is there.
Yeah, he has teammates that will help him out.
All right, who's on the outer, Josh?
I don't know. No one,
definitely.
No, Reece said solely because
same as Zach Smith. Yeah.
When they were throwing money at Todd Goldstein at the start, I thought that was a bit racist. By the way, money.
He didn't.
He knocked it back. That's a fucking wild part. But honestly, I thought he's got to go. He's going to get offered enough to leave, and he's going to get a long contract, and they could fucking use a ruckman like that.
Like that.
So I honestly was surprised he fucking stayed.
Maybe he had a good look at their marketing team, and there's no lookers among them.
Well, I mean, it's Geelong. That's
given.
Yeah.
Obviously, easy ones, Gary Rowan. Can he still go around another year?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he played every game last year either.
He's still going around now.
Injuries have not been kind to him.
Yeah, yeah. And it's almost that period where Do they start trimming some of their aging talent? Because the midfield is fucking clogged.
Yeah.
They've got young stars. Their stars are getting on 25, 26 years old. It should be leading that team now, but they're just getting blocked.
Well, they cleared out one young Kelly. They got rid of him.
But I mean, you got Parfitt, Clark. You know, he's picked up Stevens. You know, fucking...
Do Asad have to stick by the coronavirus sort of procedures?
Reckon everyone's going to cycle on during...
Yeah, yeah. So if they turn up to your door, like, sorry, mate, I've tested positive corona, you can't come in. Or you hide in the shit.
Or do you have to piss in the cup from 2 metres away?
Yeah.
Fucking big man for the three.
I think they just have a corona positive tester at all times.
Yeah. That's one way to spread it.
They get on the juice now. They've got to cycle off by the time the season starts in proper. And you might see Gadge come in at 145 kilo.
That is a very interesting point. I have not heard anybody mention Asada. It's going to make... there will be no fines this year for... teams that don't, players that don't say where they are at all times because they know where they are. They're all fucking isolated. Gary Ablett is also, he hasn't said this is his last season, but he's given every hint that it will be.
He hasn't officially said it. He's 36 this year, right?
106?
Pretty sure he's my age.
Yeah, he's up there. How much pressure is Chris Scott under?
I think he's under a bit. Yeah, I think he's got a lot of pressure.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think he might be in, obviously, I'm not the biggest fan, so I'm biased. But yeah, I think Geelong will be a better squad without him, to be honest.
I can't see, if Geelong miss finals, I can't see them sacking him. He'll have another chance. But you're right, they will want a better return in finals. Just making finals is not the pass mark for Geelong.
No, yeah.
That's why he's not a zero, but I got him only at a 5 out of 10.
Well, I mean, he's sitting at 345 games, so they'll pump him up to the 350.
This is Gary Ablett.
Yeah.
Okay, Gary Ablett. Yep.
They'll put him on 350 and I reckon they'll put him out to pasture.
What's your opinion on the coach?
Yeah, the coach is fucked.
All right, so last year, 16 wins and finishing first. Brenton, where have you got Geelong finishing in 2020?
Got them with actually another successful season by finishing ninth. Yeah, I feel this is going to be a good little test of their aging team and... Yeah, I'm going to struggle to fit them in.
If they finish ninth, Scott's done.
Well, I've been positive on them for the last 5 years, and they've let me down every year.
Yeah.
Except for last year, where they really helped me out.
But I didn't pick them to finish first last year either.
Yeah.
Obviously, they came through. Josh, where you got the Cats finishing?
I agree that it'll be a tougher season for them, but I think they've got too much class to drop out of finals, so I've got them finishing seventh.
Yeah, I think I must have been pretty drunk thinking they weren't making finals, to be honest.
Well, you never know how it's going to work out.
I don't, but I mean, using any sort of intelligence, pretty fucking hard if they miss finals.
I mean, I was probably drunk doing this too because I got them finishing two spots below Freo.
Yeah, well.
So third?
I've got them finishing fifth again because I think that there is a little bit of ageing and some tired players, but not just tired players, but tired game.
Yeah, yeah.
But... I mean, they do have Dangerfield in the middle. They have a lot of class.
Yeah.
I can't see him absolutely bottoming out and doing a Melbourne, you know?
Me neither, despite my prediction.
Yeah.
But if they did, would you start to see a bit of an exodus?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Dangerfield doesn't have many seasons left. Like, the games he plays will be quasi.
He's not going to leave. Players.
He's not going to leave, but he's going to hold that primary midfielder spot.
For sure. He's going to be number one. He's staying. That's build a team around this motherfucker.
So if you're a young, up-and-coming mid, and you're like, well, I'm not going to get a game here for the next two seasons as a starting midfielder, I'm going to look elsewhere.
I don't know. There is a lot of players that would rather be in a winning system and play, half the time as opposed to go to Gold Coast and be,
Well, Gold Coast is the other end of things.
Yeah.
Say, probably not the Bulldogs, but a team around the mid-level, like an Essendon. Say if you've got a chance to go in there and you'll be the number one mid or, starting midfielder.
Or you're going to be in the first rotation.
Yeah, you'd probably might have a crack. I mean, it depends on how you feel about the club at the time, too.
Yeah, because, again, it doesn't matter which side you go to. Like, even, let's take an Essendon. Like, a 20-year-old kid gun midfielder is not going to usurp Devin Smith or Dylan Scheel or Zach Merritt.
But you always know that one of them is going to get injured at some stage. It
tends to
happen. Very true.
All right, that'll do us for the Cats.
Yeah. All right, peace. Bye.
Thank you. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.